Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you call him Neil, it just sounds wrong. I've had to make a sticker for our producer because Giles keeps on calling him Ian, even though his name is Neil.
I did walk to open the door. The doorbell rang and I was walked to the door going, Neil. But it's never the problem. It's
or
like,
is it Ian?
It's just that right in the back, it's not about knowing what someone's name is. It's right in the back.
Yeah.
So yesterday, for example,
yes.
At school pickup,
yes.
School drop-off, I dropped off Sam. Mm-hmm. And as I got out of the car, there was Yotam Ottolenghi. Or was it?
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Was it?
So Yotam Ottolenghi. Or it was a different, very tall, handsome, gay Israeli chef.
Yeah.
And he did look familiar, but I realised I'd seen him milling around outside. Hang on, I was going to shut that. And I'm chatting. No, but the point is on the Ian Neil dichotomy.
Uh-oh.
I did the classic introduction. This is Sam. Hey. This is Yotam. And I just didn't say this is Yotam in case it was actually Fatima Whitbread, you know? I mean, I just can't take the risk because of the...
It's that kind of thing is very scary. It's happening to me more and more. I used to be like a steel trap. No longer.
For names. No. So there's that thing when you just get to a certain point and then you go, so yeah, it's going to come. Ian, it's going to come. It's going to happen.
Ian's going to come. Even though he's got a big sticker on his shirt that says Neil.
But I've made him a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And you're giving him a biscuit.
Oh, look, he looks happy.
He does.
Should we warm up with a quick chat about Russell Brand, or is that, who cares?
There's a thing in the Times today, 15 comedians.
Right.
15 people on the comedy circuit are implicated in behaviour of this type.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think...
But kind of laterally, there's another story in the Daily Mail on Tuesday, page 11, about why funny men do well with women. Did you see that? No. That's fine.
Well, this week they've put that.
This week.
Unrelated.
Yeah, no, not sarcastic at all, no. Why funny men... Although there is an argument, is Russell Brand actually funny?
Or any comedians?
Yeah.
If this is an excuse to stop all comedy, that's a column.
I've got a friend who is much younger than me, who's still kind of on the dating market.
Ooh, hey.
And she says... I'm writing down her name.
Rrr.
And she says that comedians...
I mean, when I say rrr, I mean I would only ever want to have a consensual, reciprocal relationship with her. I wouldn't want to, you know?
Yeah, good.
I wouldn't.
She's hard as nails.
Yeah.
She says comedians are the worst.
For being
very bad in bed and grumpy and awful.
Because Esther wrote down the name of quite a famous person who's a friend of hers who's young.
Yes, she really steers clear of comedians now. Anyway, so the Daily Mail this week, why funny men do so well with the ladies. A study recruited 162 women for a speed dating style experiment where they were shown photographs of 6 men anyway.
Well, there's a number of aspects there. I always used to say, in the old saw, and it's crazy and insensitive and cloth-eared of the Daily Mail, not unsurprisingly, to put a story to headline, literally headline, why funny men do so well with the ladies, and every other page is about Russell Brand. He did well, and he wasn't funny, but he was a comedian. So the thing that women find sexiest is a funny man. I've always said if that were true, I'd have had sex with more than people.
But you have the clothest, tinnest ear to people flirting with you I think I've really ever seen.
Really? Are you flirting now? What about now? Ooh, what about now? Was that laugh? You just showed me all your teeth. Does that mean you want to knock me off?
Oh, God. But no, you're just wrong. I mean, I think, you know, funny men do...
No, listen, well, I know that women fancy me a bit sometimes, or did when I was a bit less ugly.
You just fail to follow
because you
through.
Look, you appear to be confident, because you laugh and all the other men have to shut up. And it's kind of, that's what the lion in the jungle would be funny, basically.
The king of the jungle would be funny. But the problem is, I think the problem is that the thing that leads men to go on stage and tell jokes because they need an audience and they need to be laughed at, the darkness that drives them to that point is so horrendous.
You think it's similar to...
That they're always slightly monstrous, yeah.
One thing that I did think with Russell Brand... was this, I think, moving away from the sex thing trying to justify all of the thing about the conspiracy industry. I didn't really know. I just thought Russell Brand had disappeared, right?
Yeah.
So what's he writing down?
Just a note to myself. To me. Is that okay?
No, it's fine. I thought you were writing shut up and then going to hold it up for me. Fine. Isn't he a twat? And then slide it across to Neil. I thought Russell Brand had disappeared. This is my main takeaway from this. Mm-hmm. But I knew people said he's on YouTube and he's a bit anti-lockdown, but sort of who isn't? I didn't realise he'd like properly in with the anti-conspiracy people, properly in with the conspiracy theorists, which meant that Lawrence Fox came out in his defence and then Beverly Turner, who I used to know when I first did telly, she was around being sort of tall, sexy Bev Turner, who was married to James Cracknell, and she was kind of... Not that I noticed she was sexy, even though it was the noughties.
Yeah.
Then she had this massive row with Andrew Pearce on GB News. And there's this huge conspiracy thing. And we have friends who shall remain nameless, some of who are on Twitter going anti-lockdown, anti-COVID, anti-vaccine. And they're all the sorts of people who go, yes, and they tap their noses and they think they know different from everyone else. And it's just this, I thought I might write about this. I had no idea about the conspiracy industry. I've had all my life, for example, I get it on the Murdoch press. Yeah, Rupert Murdoch owns some newspapers, but they go, it's the Murdoch stooge. He's doing things. Mm. And I've never met him. I've seen him across a room. No one's ever told me what to write ever or do anything. It's just, but people believe that what I do is orchestrated by Murdoch. And if it's not Murdoch, it's a sort of unknown conspiracy of whatever, of Jews or capitalists or Chinese is a big one. The Chinese are...
The conspiracy theory mindset is only people who feel powerless and disenfranchised.
Yes, exactly. It's what led Jeremy Corbyn to say things which looked anti-Semitic, because he believed in a kind of them that controls world capitalism. Mm-hmm. And it can't be us, because we are the workers and we are the revolutionaries. So if it's controlled by this faceless other, what are they? And that leads you down a rabbit hole.
People are lying to you, you're not in control. It's just a thing. Oh, well, I think it appeals to people who feel a real lack of agency in their lives.
Absolutely. Things have gone wrong. What is the reason? Yeah. I get it when I get the nepotism thing all the time. Mm-hmm. Fine, whatever. But mostly, if your career isn't going the way you want it, you look for a reason why someone else is successful and you're not.
Yes, I do.
And it's either because their dad was Alan Corran, or it's because they're not a freeloader, what are they called? A Freemason. Or it's because they're a Jew, or it's because they're in with the Chinese, or it's because they're owned by Murdoch. That is the thing. And it's...
Well, it's very... I mean, I have had moments of great paranoia in my life, and it's a very, very powerful and very frightening feeling, and it's quite difficult to shake off. And so I completely understand why people are into conspiracy theories. But... So what were you saying? What would your column be? Your column would be, these are my conspiracy theories.
My conspiracy theories?
The funniest thing I think you've ever said, and it made you... Anyone who knows you knows that you basically don't really have any opinions at all. And you certainly don't have any opinions about conspiracy theories. But this summer, you did confess to us when we were on holiday. And you kind of folded your arms and went, yeah, I'm not really into conspiracy theories, but, you know, if the moon landings did turn out to be a hoax, I wouldn't be that surprised. And it was so sweet, because that's like the least you thing.
Because I never bother to really think anything.
Never. You don't think deeply about anything at all.
The funny thing was to see my two children, 10 and 12, mouth agape at what a credulous twat I am, was quite sort of... And this kid was going, what? Dad, wait, what? Yeah. And I told you about this film Capricorn 1 that I saw when I was a kid, which is about the fake staging of the moon landings.
Is it?
Yeah, it is, but it's not... I mean, it's
Capricorn 1.
Yeah, okay. It's not... I don't know, it's a particularly good film, but it's what... And I remember just thinking, and I would not be that surprised if the moon landed. The reason that I know we did land on the moon is because they would have fucking proved it. You couldn't have enough. There couldn't be enough people at NASA all faking it. But yes, given that yes. what has come out about Russell Brand, the things that have come out, I accept that it's very more than likely that men landed on the moon. But so, but the idea, it's thick people who they don't bother. You know, I don't bother with the mainstream media. No, then you're uninformed and you know nothing.
Yeah,
and it's like one of the ones which I have a lot of fun with is the war on the car, mm-hmm. the war on the. They call it that until people actually believe it's being orchestrated.
Yeah. The thing is, if you have no real working experience of a newsroom, and if you've ever tried to get a story through that is a bit iffy or just doesn't smell right, it's really hard to get stories through. It's hard to get features through. You've got a lot of layers of people that you've got to convince, because no one wants to look like a twat at the end of the day. And people go, where did you get this from? Who told you? Well, not who told you, you don't have real.
There was something during the week about someone said it was about conspiracies, and these people think that everything's run by a media conspiracy. But if you've ever worked on a media features desk which is taken by surprise by Christmas every year, you would think you would realise these people can't.
It's chaos. It is chaos, and it's hard to get stories through. There is no conspiracy. I wish there was. It would make me feel more confident in the competence.
Fucking hell, I'm a capitalist Jew who works for Murdoch. If there were a conspiracy, I would be riding high. Exactly.
So what are you saying? What you're saying is to protect yourself against historical accusations of doing something bad, you're going to rebrand yourself, no pun intended, as a conspiracy theorist on YouTube. And here are top three
having
conspiracies.
Seen that, but whatever they do, they can't really bring Russell Brand down, although this week they're doing it. I mean, they're taking away this stuff. But given that I am employed by mainstream media and I may or may not have had shenanigans in my past, if I were to come down, clearly the place to go is conspiracies, and here's what I think. So look, so to circling back to your very good idea about how the column should be.
Yeah.
That I realised that I need to set myself. This is very, very good. It's a really tight peg. I need to
reinvent myself as a
with the changing of the look. Russell Brand got where he was by saying what he was and then doing it, and then now everyone's dug it out. Think of the things I've said in the past that I am in print. I could easily end up out of it. I need to be a conspiracy theorist. Here are my conspiracies, and then what would they be? For example, I genuinely believe that my wife hides my shit so that I have to ask for it, right. So she can tell me where it is and roll her eyes and make me feel old.
Yeah. Shrinking the T-shirts.
That's Priscilla, our wonderful, wonderful cleaner who does our laundry. And I've been convinced for 2 years that she's washing my T-shirts too hot.
No.
And I'm not getting fatter.
Yes.
There's absolutely no possibility that since I started eating carbs again and failing to fast and going on holiday to places where the rosé is cheap.
Yes.
For some reason, she's just been boiling the fuck out of my clothes. And now I can't fit into them anymore.
She does it. And not taking any exercise. Exactly. So the shrinking of the T-shirts, the hiding of your shit. What else are you a bit conspiracy about? Maybe something about being on hold, something about... So you had an awful time to redoing our mortgage with Barclays.
Oh, we know that, though, don't we? Remortgaging and changing your bills, yeah.
Changing bills. And there's a conspiracy to secretly put you on, like, a shit plan, but then you can't get through to them to change it.
But then you have to blame that on the Jews, or the Chinese...
Sure,
or paedophiles who are actually lizards.
But that's funny. But who is behind it? You just make it up. I mean, it's that doesn't.
And it
matter.
Must be a sort of towering thing, possibly written in the language of Russell Brand, because you know he sort of writes in
in his Baroque language. Yeah. I can't really imitate it, but it wouldn't take long just to.
With
read.
My pragmatical meanderings, I am adjacent to.
That sort of thing. It's a combination of will.
Hence
self.
My sly lucubrations and nent. The conspiratorial mundifications of the global proletariat.
He calls his followers like, good morning, my little awakening minds, or something like that. Something really
boring. Fine.
Okay, great. So conspiracy theories, brilliant.
Here's a problem I have, here's a thing. Mm-hmm. I am genuinely fucking furious
with
the Conservative Party, with our government, with the news, and I don't know whether I should just write about that.
Oh, can I just go for a wee first?
That's what used to happen when fucking Winston Churchill stood up. This is not the end. This is not even the beginning of it. Can I go for a wee?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Listen, the Tories, it's like, I'm not a massive anti-Tory. I'm not a sort of, you know, I have voted Tory in my time. I've voted Labour. I have voted Lib Dem. The Tories, one of the things they had managed to do under now discredited Prime Ministers Cameron and Johnson, at least they had these reasonably good green policies. The idea that, and they were patriotic and they were right, and it was properly conservative. The idea that you would look after the planet, that it would be, and it was patriotic. Britain will lead the world in green technology, and therefore, when the cars change over in 2030, which will be, we will hit net zero at 2050. We will ban the cars by 2030, the production of fossil fuel cars, in order to achieve that goal. Our car manufacturers will pivot, industry will pivot. We will ban new gas boilers. We will lead the world in that, and we will protect the future for our children. And Cameron did it, and then there was that moment, remember when it was leaked, Cameron said, oh, we'll just drop all the green shit. Mm-hmm. And then Boris came in, and Boris made it a patriot, we're going to do this, and now Rishi Sunak, because of one fucking by-election, you are aware that there was an Uxbridge by-election, which the Tories expected to lose, mm-hmm. but they stood against the ULEZ, mm-hmm. And they won it, and they've gone absolutely mad that this is the only way, in this desperation, and they've now rolled back on that. Mm-hmm. And and Rishi Sunak has announced that they won't be implementing the gas boilers, and they won't be implementing the ban on fuel emissions. And he's also said they will abandon all their policies they had to try and reduce the consumption of red meat as well, which was, you know, which is a health thing. That all the fun, you know, and it's because they are using this crisis, the cost of living crisis. Just as many said that George Osborne used the banking crash of 2008 as a backdoor excuse to reduce. Its benefits and sort of state support of welfare and that kind of a thing, and to roll back the economy and make it more Tory. They're using these things to abandon these nice things they were doing to try and win the election, and it's absolutely terrifying. And it is pandering basically to the same people as Russell Brand's, what I think, that pandering to conspiracy theorists. They are going to, because most of those conspiracy theorists, they, you know, the Lawrence Fox end of things. They don't believe the environment really matters. They're saying the environment doesn't really matter. In the short term, we can win this election. Sue Braverman was delivering this line: "We're not going to save the planet by bankrupting the British economy." And she said it on three different radio stations that I heard this morning. She's going to say it all the time. They're drawing a false parallel, much like Hitler saying we've got terrible inflation; it's all the Jews' fault. Mm-hmm. When there's no link, she has been there saying we're not going to save the planet by bankrupting the British people. It's a false link. That isn't why we haven't got any money. Those green policies do not hit the working man in his pocket. There's a thing to do with car transformation, and yes, if you haven't got the money, you can't change your car necessarily, but they've got to change behaviour, they've got to save the planet. You can't keep us at net zero increment in global warming by 2050 by deferring the moment at which you begin to act. She said over the past 10 years, Sue Braverman said on Radio 4 and Times Radio this morning, the successive Tory governments had made great advances in reducing. They haven't at all. It's gone down. And they are pandering to conspiracy theorists. They're pandering to old right-wing isolationists, awful little fuckwads. They've created a no future for, and I feel like I should just fucking rant at them. They had a Tory MP.
I do feel like you did this column at the beginning of the summer or midway through.
I just wrote a column saying he was short and a twat. Yeah. I feel now that I can drill down into absolute policies.
Yeah, I think you should go for that. I think if it's something that you've actually taken on board some detail about, that's always good.
There was a Tory MP on Times Radio this morning that they had on who was saying, with the ULEZ thing, when I was young, I could buy a car for £600 so that I could go to my job and I could pull myself up by my bootstraps. But young people now, you know, what do you say to them? They won't be able to drive to their job. What will they do? You're trying to price them out of having a car? Yes, yes, you fucking fool. Of course we are. That's what it's meant to do. You're meant to take an 18-year-old who's meant to find it. I mean, I know it's you find a job closer to home, live nearer the job. It starts to sound a bit Norman Tebbit, my father got on his bike, famously. But yes, you've got to change behaviour. You've got to do that. You can't have a workforce
who are growing up now, leaving school,
and all getting into cars and driving, because you won't hit net zero and we'll all fucking die. And it's...
Yes, I think you might have a point there. And if you... I mean, I always say this, but it depends on how you feel when you wake up on Thursday morning. Have you got a head of steam to really stick it to them on green issues or
it depends what the fling back is on Thursday after Rishi Sunak makes the speech.
Is he making it in the Commons or somewhere else or what? Oh, you don't know.
No, there's a thing that he's really... It's another thing where he's not gone through the Commons. He's not meant to... He's been announcing government policy in chat
in
shows
school
and shit, which you're not supposed
stuff,
to do.
Yeah.
And you're meant to do it to the House, and the Speaker will be upset, and there'll be all this kind of a thing. But they are reversing the election manifesto that they were elected on. They are literally seeing, at this point, the only way that we might be able to win this general election is by throwing all of that shit out of the window and going back to square one.
Well, it's like last week, they were banning shit. So they're banning XL bully dogs and banning vapes, and now they're rowing back on all their green stuff.
And in a week where we are looking at people like Andrew Tate and Alex Jones and Lawrence Fox and Nigel Farage and Russell Brand and all the damage that they do, they're pandering basically to them. Mm-hmm. They are kowtowing to the Daily Mail, and it leaves Rishi Sunak with absolutely nothing to stand for, and to just get elected by people who believe that global warming is a hoax, that it's a conspiracy, that we didn't land on the moon.
I think a lot of them don't believe it's a hoax. So what they believe is that the world's climate is changing, but it's not. It's not to do with humans.
Yes, exactly. But they think that yes, and it's just fucking rubbish. Emily in Paris was this show.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. And yes. I don't know much about it, but in which some it was rubbish apparently, but some it's and it's work. Basically some a young Chicago PR girl goes to Paris and it's all beautiful and it's all shot a bit like Instagram and she's just like wearing dresses in locations. Yeah. It's made Paris for the first time a really popular travel destination, right?
Right. And then
there's these stories where people have been there's some bakery that features, so they've got they're in it. It's a real bakery and it's quadrupled initially, but now it's all over TripAdvisor. They're going, this isn't anything like it is in the TV show, the croissant is nice, right? And there's so, but anyway, a travel company, and there's no point publicising it, so I won't look it up. Reported in the Times today by our travel editor, is now doing Emily in Paris trips to Paris,
yes,
where you pay $2,500 and they take you there, and you have a Le Flirt session, and you go learn how to do, and you basically get put in these locations.
But it's Americans, isn't it? I don't quite understand what the American absolute obsession with Paris is. And Emily in Paris, a fact about Emily in Paris which you won't know, is that it's created by Darren Star, and Darren Star is the creator of Sex and the City. And in Sex and the City, there is an entire series where Carrie has to move to Paris, and Mr. Big is always moving to Paris. Darren Star has got a major problem with Paris.
Americans. You are quite right. It's Americans who have this thing about Europe. So, you know, when you go to America, they go, oh my God, you live in England, you must go to Paris all the time. You're right there in Europe. Because they're, you know, it's for us, it's only as far as for them it is driving to the 7-Eleven.
I think they can't have a thing about London because, or about
but they do fetishise London.
They fetishise, like, the countryside with sort of thatched cottages and stuff.
Oh, they fetishise Nottingham.
Everything in America is so fucking massive.
The point about it is, people are going on Emily in Paris tours to Paris.
Yeah.
And Emily, the point is Emily in Paris. Paris isn't there.
No.
I lived in Paris. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
And we went back quite recently, and it's.
Well, we had a nice time. And to be fair, I've had 25 years of not going back. But my point would be, Paris is just a place where French people, Parisians, live and work. And well, I lived there, and yes, it was very pretty, and I lived in a fourth floor walk-up and all that, and it was... But I got up and I walked along the polluted Canal Saint-Martin to the Gare du Nord, and I got on the metro, and I went to Place de la Madeleine at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I worked in a fucking clothes shop until dusk, and I came back and got on the tube and went home again. And I have no memories of Paris as a movable feast and all that sort of a nonsense. These people are going to Paris to look for a city that isn't there. And that is, and only Americans are thick enough to do that, really.
But they do that with Venice, they do it with Rome. I've been to Rome twice trying to find a city that
it's not there.
It definitely isn't there.
Yeah. You can't get a fucking bowl of pasta.
Stray cats.
People are all really ugly.
Bad food, like revolting, like...
To be fair, the Colosseum is there, but you can't get in.
I got in, actually. That was pretty impressive. That was the only good
thing
about
Rome. Not when you
came out with me. But I do wonder, you've mentioned them, that you want to write about Emily in Paris before, and I just can't quite visualise what it is that you want to say. What's your point?
That
stop being American. It's annoying.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.